This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Governor Pat McCrory joined the leaders of 16 other states in a lawsuit against the president over his executive actions on immigration. McCrory's move is just the latest in a national struggle over President Obama's authority on immigration. The president's decision to provide legal status for some of the nation's undocumented people has prompted Republicans in Congress to threaten another government shutdown. But others in the GOP leadership have pledged to authorize funding for 2015 when the Republicans take control of both houses. Joining us now, as he regularly does on Fridays, is political junkie Ken Rudin. Hello, Ken.
Hi, Frank.
Tell us a little bit more about this lawsuit. What's in it?
Well, it's basically saying, and these are 17 states, including North Carolina, that says that argues that the president has overstepped his bounds, that he's violated the Constitution, that he's put borders, the U.S. borders, in more at jeopardy by basically saying that the president has overstepped his bounds. Now it's interesting to see how frustrated Republicans are, given the fact that if you think of what happened on November 4th, it should be the Democrats who are really, really, really upset with the way things are going on. But the president is still the president. He still has, in his argument, he still has the constitutional ability to do these executive actions. And he said he's going to do this since the Congress has not acted on immigration. He's going to take it on his own to do the things you talked about. And the Republicans are very, very frustrated. They're looking for a way to combat it.
And, of course, the president pointed out in his speech when he announced those that executive authority that and those plans that he has, that, in fact, there was bipartisan support in the Senate for a law that would have solved a lot of this problem. But it was the Republican leadership in the House that blocked it. And that was his point in taking this executive action, right?
Well, it's a fair point. I mean, first of all, the Republicans knew all along that the president has been threatening this. The president has been saying so. And if you go, you have to go back to June of 2013, when the Senate, by I think a 62-38 margin, passed a bipartisan immigration overhaul, but the House has not acted on it. And so, of course, all that Republicans had to do in the House was to pass anything, even if it was something the president didn't care for, to keep the president from using executive action. But they didn't, and he did. And now the Republicans are saying, I can't believe the president is doing this, when, after all, he's been threatening to do it all along.
Well, North Carolina's Senator-elect Tom Tillis was on CBS Face the Nation, and he talked about his views on this subject.
I'm afraid that the president's unilateral action is going to set us back. I believe that what we should do, first and foremost, is seal the border. The Republicans and Democrats have both failed on this issue for decades. And one of the reasons why is I don't think we've stabilized the problem by taking credible steps to seal the border. Then let's discuss what we do with the population who's illegally present. I think we're going to complicate it. We could end up having a contentious debate that could be avoided.
Well, the Senator-elect Tom Tillis saying both Republicans and Democrats have failed to seal the border. Perhaps one of the reasons why is that's impossible. And it does suggest that there might be a whole political side to this that we haven't even talked about yet. The politics of putting both the president and some Republicans in this position.
Well, of course, I mean, look, politics has a lot to do with it. And for Tom Tillis to say that border security is being ignored, well, in all due respect to the Senator-elect, the Senate, in its June of 2013 legislation, they pushed for a strong, very strong border security. All the House Republicans have had to do is say, okay, we don't want a giant overriding bill on immigration. We want it more piecemeal. So they could have passed individual small piecemeal legislation talking about border security, but they didn't even do that. So politics is part of it. It's still beyond me why the Republicans didn't deal with it in 2014, as House Speaker John Boehner said he would do all along. Part of it was that as much as the Republican leadership wanted to go, there was this Tea Party contingent who said that anything you talk about keeping people in the country, keeping them from being deported, is amnesty. And so, you know, again, we keep thinking about how the Democrats are the party that should be so disheartened after what happened on November 4th, but the Republicans are still not on the same page when it comes to issues like this, especially immigration.
Well, and so some Republicans are threatening a shutdown over this whole issue, right? Tell us about that.
Some are. Look, I mean, I think the adults are taking over in the Republican Party this time. In 2013, basically, John Boehner said, look, the Speaker of the House said, I think this shutdown idea is wrong, but I'm going to let you guys go along. I'll go along with it for you guys. And so they shut down the government for 16 days. in the fall of 2013. Republican approval numbers fell to single digits. I don't think that's ever happened before. And the Republicans took a hit. Now, if you talk to Tea Party Republicans now, they'll say, well, if we took such a hit, if this shutdown was such a disaster for the Republican Party, why did we do so well on November 4th? So obviously we didn't pay any political price for it. But Boehner, it's one thing to be in the minority and carp from the outside. Boehner and the incoming Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell want to prove that they can govern, that they do have an agenda, that they're not just the party of no. And so by saying, look, let's get this out of the way, let's pass the budget, let's not talk about a shutdown, let's fund the government and then implement our own agenda for 2015 and see if the president will veto it or not, but not to threaten, as Ted Cruz and other Tea Party folks want, not to threaten a shutdown, which just shows once again that they were unable or unable to govern.
Well, so I wonder how much of a split there really is in the party, whether this is a minority of a very small group within the party. I mean, I guess the difference between 2012, where Republicans took a hit for a split in the party, and 2014, where, as you suggest, you know, we did well, what's the complaint, is that some would argue that the kind of more moderate Republicans got discipline, took control of the party, and silenced or at least sidelined some of those voices. Are we seeing a resurgence? What does this mean, this whole divide over shutting down the government?
I don't think much has changed, except the only difference is Boehner said, I let you have your way in 2013. It didn't work. Now do it my way. The fact is that, matter of fact, there are more Republicans now in the new House, in the 114th Congress House, than there's been since the 1928 elections. So John Boehner not only has more Republicans to work with, but of course he has more conservative and more Tea Party folks to work with it as well. So there is the possibility that maybe 30 to 40 Republicans could still vote no next week when this bill is likely to come before the House on the budget, and if, because the deadline is coming up on December 11th to fund the government. And if these Republicans vote no, once again, John Boehner will have to vote, have to get the votes from those Democrats. I just checked it. There are Democrats still in the House of Representatives. Nancy Pelosi still has a minority there. Mm-hmm. And the Democrats would be very happy to say, once again, we're bailing out John Boehner because the Tea Party folks won't give him the votes.
Talking to political junkie Ken Rudin today on The State of Things. And one question along this line, because we've been talking about the impact at the national level, but here at the state level, Governor McCrory and Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest have urged Attorney General Roy Cooper to join the lawsuit. He is the apparent Democratic, perhaps the Democratic challenger in the 2014 gubernatorial race, 2016, I should say. A Cooper spokesman said, quote, we are not part of it at this point. Cooper widely expected to run against McCrory in 2016. Has the campaign begun, Ken?
Oh, there's no question about that. You know, for all the arguments that this is really about policy and not about politics, and if you look at the 17 states that are talking about filing the lawsuit challenging President Obama's authority, two of them happen to be run by Democratic governors, West Virginia and Montana. So it's not completely a Republican political move. But when you have the chairman of the Republican Party in North Carolina talking about Roy Cooper saying, will he take a stand or will he hide behind a cloak of inaction? Well, then that's clearly a challenge regarding the 2016 gubernatorial elections. And once again, it's really clearly about politics. At least when you saw the Republican Party chairman weigh in about Roy Cooper, it's more about politics than it is about policy.
All right. And on other national issues, the president responded to the situation in Ferguson, grand jury decision not to indict the police officer who choked Eric Garner in New York. What did he say? How does it play politically?
Well, look, I think that we saw after the grand jury in Ferguson that the country is definitely split on race. A lot of them agree that the grand jury should have indicted the white police officer. A lot of them said they did the right thing by not. But I think everybody agrees that the police must be made accountable, held accountable. to the communities they serve. So when you see something like this going on in Ferguson, when you see the Eric Garner, the black man who was died at the hands of the police from a chokehold, and when you see what the Department of Justice said about what's going on in Cleveland the past 2 years with a pattern of police abuse with unreasonable and unnecessary use of force, the president felt that enough is enough. And I mean, he and Attorney General Eric Holder have been out in front on this, I think even more Holder than Obama. But the administration says, look, there are people who are just losing faith in the police system. There's deep distrust in the black community, and something has to be done. And I think that's why you saw yesterday that the Department of Justice action against Cleveland.
All right, and I've got 30 seconds left, but speaking of the Department of Justice, Loretta Lynch, of course, U.S. attorney in New York, president's pick for attorney general to replace Eric Holder, but she would be the one looking into the Eric Garner case. Is that going to hold up her nomination at all?
Well, she also has to decide about immigration as well, and Ted Cruz are among some of the senators who said, let's hold up that nomination, let's make things difficult for her, because we have the power in Congress to get some retribution from the president. For all the talk about how Loretta Lynch may be very highly qualified to succeed Eric Holder, look for a very contentious debate, confirmation questions next year when the confirmation goes before the Senate.
All right, Ken, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank.
Ken Rudin is the political junkie. Just ahead, a Duke neuroscience professor tells us how our brains process where we are and what that tells us about how we think. Talk about it today on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.